You ever jump into something without thinking it through? Maybe there's something that you had to sign off on and they said, oh, the fine print, don't worry about it. Or maybe you agreed to help a friend of yours out on a project at the house, only to find that several hours later, you got a lot more than you thought you would. Well, there's a patron saint for that. And that's Saint Peter. Today's gospel, we see a very frightening sight, a ghost hovering over the waters in the night. And it filled the disciples with fear. But it was only until they heard that familiar voice of Jesus did they calm down. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. At that, immediately, St. Peter goes and responds, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Is that a dare? Have we thought this through? I mean, again, it's night, right? So, not day, harder to see, and the boat wasn't on calm waters. It was choppy. So if you've ever been on choppy waters, you know how that is, right? Get a small craft warning, you know. That's not enjoyable. You need to get out. So just imagine that, and feeling safe in the boat, Peter says, command me to do this, and I'll go. If I was in the boat with him, I'd say, are you nuts? Do you remember where you are? And even though Peter is known at times to say things that make us scratch our heads, or unfortunately he doesn't follow through, there is something in the response of Peter that all of us can benefit from. You see, Peter's response comes because of who he sees that is before him. His response comes because it is Jesus who is there. And it's only until Peter loses that sight, right? He starts feeling the wind pushing against the boat, pushing against him, and he realizes, uh-oh, what have I gotten myself into? That he sinks, goes into the water. And that's the point. At moments in which the Lord is commanding us, inviting us to do something, it's not something that we are meant to do on our own. For if we do these things on our own, then it will appear insurmountable, difficult, unable to accomplish. When we face tumultuous waters, unbelievable odds, yes, our resolve will be shaken. And if we allow ourselves to shift our attention to that rather than Jesus, then we will sink. But we have to respond with the initial boldness of Peter, who realized that because it is the Lord, what reason do I have to fear? Now we got to be sure that it's him. Peter had that assurance. Peter didn't look around in the boat and realize, I got a crummy group of guys with me. You know, I bet that ghost out there is better company. I'm just going to jump out of the water and take my chances. Peter knew that was Jesus. And only after that assurance did he go forth and move in boldness. So what we do has to be not only Jesus-focused, but also Jesus-led. It's not enough to say, I'm doing this for Jesus, I'm doing this for the kingdom of God. It's got to accompany right prayer
and discernment. 1 Kings 19, first reading of the day, talks to us about how the voice of God is, which is very different than what we are accustomed to in the movie theaters or in the media. Sometimes when we think how the voice of God is, you will hear Moses. It's a very loud voice that's supposed to shake your core. And here in 1 Kings 19, very different. In all the displays of power, the voice of God was not present. The wind that was strong enough to crush rocks, it was not there. The earthquake, the fire that erupted from the ground, it was not there. Only after that, only after the cacophony of noise, then in the small whispering, does one hear the voice of God. And this is something that you and I must remember, must recall in times in which we are seeking out the voice of God. To listen for his voice requires this devoted zeal. There was a man who wanted to hear the voice of God. He had heard many times of other people hearing the voice of God. He says, I want this for myself. And so he went on a retreat. And normally on a retreat, they have a list of things that you're supposed to do. You know, it's pretty structured, some flexibility, but it tells you what time you should be doing things. And, you know, he thought, well, you know, if I'm going to go and hear the voice of God, so what I'm going to do, I know I'm supposed to be doing these things, but I'm going to go out to this nearby forest. It's on a big property. And I'm just going to be there until I hear the voice of God. And I'm not coming back until that happens. He's gone for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You know, it took him a long time until finally, he comes back. He didn't say anything, but you can tell by his countenance that something had happened. Now, of course, I'm not advocating that at any moment you really want to hear the voice of God, you leave the house for a couple hours, right? Maybe you got a project in the house and you're supposed to do something. Oh, you know, I haven't heard the voice of God today. Let me step out a little bit. But there are going to be times in which we do have to make that time available to the Lord. You know, there's a reason why the Lord makes us wait, at least from our perspective. It feels like he's making us wait. In actuality, he is trying to see if indeed in our hearts we are desirous of hearing the voice of God, if we believe that he is alive, if we believe that he has something for us. Oftentimes the temptation for many of us, if not everyone, is to look at the things in which are readily available. In this age that we have, which brings with it good things and bad things, we have so much technology. Information is available at our fingertips. You got a question? Take your phone out. Ask Google. Ask Siri. Boom. You got the answer. Or at least the answer that they give you. Whether or not that's true, that's another thing, but. And that's comfortable for us. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves seeking answers in that same way. Well, God's not speaking, so maybe I'll look at the news. Or maybe I'll search through social media. Maybe I'll look through what everyone else is talking about. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Huh? You know, our hearts then get filled with all this gunk, all this stuff. And then we get pressured into thinking, this is how I'm supposed to be, or this is how I'm supposed to react, or this is how I'm supposed to be focusing on. You know, it's like everything is being blared at us and told us how to think. And then we might say, well, that looks like a good thing to do. You know, I will go and follow it, right? I will do this in the name of God. And all the while, our Lord might be saying, no, no, that's not what I'm asking you to do. You know, I had a wonderful experience when I went on a 30-day retreat. It was a silent retreat, but it was a good retreat. And there was one moment, at least I was able to talk to my spiritual director every day. There was one moment where, you know, I was led through particular prayer patterns and what I'm supposed to focus on. And then I found myself at lunch, you know, there. I wasn't making eye contact with anybody, you know, trying not to like engage them. And I find myself scooping some food, and then all of a sudden I start thinking about the poor, about the hungry. And I thought, oh, well, maybe the Lord might be calling me to a specific kind of ministry in the priesthood that deals with this. You know, maybe not diocesan priesthood. Maybe that means religious order. Oh, okay, maybe that's what this is all about. And so I started entertaining those things, and I brought it up to my spiritual director, and I explained things, all well and good, good intentions. And he just looked at me and said, you know, I'm not downplaying it. Maybe, just maybe, God might be calling you to it. But I want you to consider going back to your original exercises, offering that to the Lord. And, you know, if that's something that persists, okay. But I really want you to focus on what we have here, because there is something that is intentional by going through these prayer periods as they are, rather than going through your own. So this time has been set apart for you to properly discern your vocation. And so, again, that's a good thought. I'm not dismissing that. But I want you to focus on these prayer periods. I said, okay, he's my spiritual director. He knows best. That's the beautiful thing about a Catholic faith, right? We believe in authority. So they say, like, this is what I should do. All right, then I'll do it. And right then and there, I couldn't believe it. It was as if a fog was lifted from my eyes, and I was kind of back to where I was before in my prayer periods. And I was getting deeper in the way in which the Holy Spirit was leading me to. But it wouldn't have happened if I would have just simply prompted following that, you know, oh, that seems like a good thing. And that's the thing that we need to be careful of. That even though there are things in which the world might press upon us, this is important, you must focus, you must do, we still have to ask the question, is that from you, Father? Is that from you, Jesus? If it's not, then it's not for us. And we have to listen for the voice of God, who will come to us, who will speak to us, who will reveal himself to us. And only after that assurance, then we move forward in boldness. And it's not because in the invitation and the command that's given by God that we have everything. You know, he doesn't just give us a whole blueprint in which to download and then we follow. It's because, again, like Peter, he knew it's Jesus. And if you know, if I know that it is being led by our Lord, and at the end he will be there, isn't that all we need? I think for some of the analytical minds, you're kind of screaming, no. I want to have it, right? I want to have the plan. I want to know that everything's been tested, everything's all right. But that's where faith comes in. That's where trust in the personhood of Jesus Christ fills in the gaps of the unknown. It is a way in which we can demonstrate our love for him by saying, okay, I don't know how this will add up. I don't know how this will go through. But God, I know you've shown me signs You have definitely made it apparent that it's from you. Help me to increase in my trust. Help me to follow you. And when we fail, we need enough humility as Peter did, who cried out to the Lord, "Save me." And that way we ask for guidance, clarity, and as needed, the sacrament of confession to restore us to grace. And this is true at any time, as a general rule, or maybe when the Lord might be inviting us into a deeper intimacy with Him, into that total abandonment to His divine providence. It's great to have full knowledge of something before committing, but sometimes we just need to trust. If we know Jesus is behind it and He is found at the end, we have to take that leap, as Peter did, to speak and act from a place of faith focused on Jesus, and not from fear focused on the world.